From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, a look back at the overturning of Roe and a report from the International Religious Freedom Summit. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. I want to start by letting you know that Alliance Defending Freedom and Family Research Council are sponsoring a special live stream event on Sunday night, July 3rd, called Celebrating Dobbs, Celebrating Life. Tony Perkins will be one of several speakers taking a look at a post-Roe world and what we as believers can do in our communities and in our states. So I encourage you to go to tonyperkins.com and click on the link for Celebrate Dobbs, Celebrate Life. This week in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council was a proud co-sponsor of the International Religious Freedom Summit, and Tony Perkins hosted Washington Watch Live from the summit. His first guest on Thursday was Representative Chris Smith of New York, a longtime champion of life and religious freedom. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you in person.
It's great to see you, Tony, and thank you for the tremendous work you do and the leadership that you provide to FRC. It's incredible.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I want to start. I mean, we're going to talk about international religious freedom. You were on part of our panel, actually, today. But I want to get your response because you are probably the longest serving member in Congress who has been advancing the sanctity of human life. You've chaired the pro-life caucus for I don't know how long. A long time.
40 years.
Second time. Your reaction to the Dobbs decision?
Historic. I was in awe of the actual statements that were made by Alito. The writing was superb, airtight, if you will, in the way he reasoned. And I think for those of us who I've been in the pro-life movement for 50 years, I got involved in 1972. My wife got involved 2 years later. We met in the pro-life movement, and she's the love of my life, Marie, and she does work on the international level especially.
You guys are a team. There's no question about it.
No doubt about it. But we thought this day would come. We just never knew when. You know, God is good. He's a God of mercy and love, and he has compassion for the unborn and compassion for the moms, the mothers, who are the co-victims of every abortion. So we just rejoice, but now we begin a new chapter, a serious chapter of defending life, because now we've been empowered as lawmakers, state and federal, to pass laws. So, you know, it for a long time, whatever we did, it was always, you know, what's the court going to say? And they nullified so much of what we did over the years. Now we can actually pass laws that will go into effect and will save lives on the ground.
I want to get your response to the Secretary General of the World Health Organization, the Tedros, who just railed against the court decision, saying this, and I quote from him, "The evidence is irrefutable. Restricting abortion drives women and girls toward unsafe abortions, resulting in complications, even death." And he basically said America is out of step with the rest of the world by going back and allowing the people to decide this issue.
Dr. Tedros, former head of health for Ethiopia, I've known him for decades. He told me to my face how pro-life he was years ago. So he's had another, like Joe Biden, like so many other people, who used to be pro-life and now he's on the other side, pandering to a woke agenda that completely obliterates the unborn child physically as well as in the mind's eye. A baby doesn't even exist. And that whole argument is the same argument that Bernard Nathanson claimed they used to make in getting abortion legalized in the first place that led to Roe versus Wade in 1973. Extreme hyperbole, all kinds of exaggerations.
Well, not just hyperbole, it's a lie.
Oh, it's a lie. Of course it is.
Because when you look at where the rest of the world is on abortion,
I was talking about in terms of the harm to women.
Oh, you're right.
We know that there's real harm to women who are the co-victims, and the pregnancy care centers, who are, as you know, because you're so involved with it as well, they are magnificent in reaching out, loving both mother and baby, and helping. The women need help.
Right.
They don't need the extermination of their child.
And that only makes the situation worse.
It does. And so for him to be saying that.
But speak to the issue of him saying that America's out of step.
Even there, you know, Europe, in most of Europe, it's 12 to 15 weeks. We're up to birth in the United States of America. China, North Korea, some of the worst despotic countries in the world, they're the ones who have a similar program as we do.
Right.
And Ethiopia, you know, I was there when they legalized abortion. I fought it. They did it through a backdoor way in their criminal code reform. And most of those people, including Melis, who I met with, you know, didn't even want to talk about it. We you know, if we had their law, many of our unborn children would be in Ethiopia, where he was minister of health, would be protected. I don't want theirs. I want a better.
Right. I mean, we're one of what, seven countries that allow abortion up until birth.
That's correct.
So I mean, we're out of step.
We're the extremists
exactly.
As a country.
Let me shift as a bridge to this issue here at the International Religious Freedom Summit, which again you spoke at again today. We would not be at this point of returning America to the Constitution and to a respect for human life were it not for the ability to express religious freedom in this country, meaning the ability to act on our faith.
Boy, Tony, that is so true. You know, and there's an attempt by the left to so circumscribe religious freedom to make it more like just worship.
Well, it's what's between your ears.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah, don't do anything.
Right.
You know, you have no place in the public square to speak out. You need to be discounted. And we're seeing that not just on the abortion issue, but we've seen it with adoptions, where the homosexual agenda says that none of the of the faith-based entities that want to place a child with a mom and a dad, like Catholic Charities, they've been shut down all over the country, as well as the evangelical adoption agencies. And we did have a modest win last year, but it's a modest one, on Philadelphia.
Right.
But it's written in such a way that it's going to be revisited.
But hopefully with these religious freedom cases that have come out of the court this week, that there's the possibility that even that issue could be revisited in the court, and we could have, which I think is going to be essential going forward here when we talk about the next phase of making America pro-life. It's the care pregnancy centers, but it's also the expansion of adoption.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's the loving option, the adoption option. And, you know, it's there. People, you know, women need to be told that there's an opportunity for her child to thrive. Unfortunately, it often doesn't even get to that point. Planned Parenthood and all the others steer her right to that abortion room where the baby is destroyed and she's hurt.
Chris Smith, we could talk all day. Love to have you on the program. Always great to see you again. Thank you for your leadership on Capitol Hill.
Thank you so much, Tony. Appreciate it. Keep up your great work.
We will, as long as we got folks like you that we can work with. And folks, that means you got to be involved voting and supporting candidates who stand for the things that you care about, faith, family, and freedom. All right, don't go away. I'm going to be joined on the other side of the break with Aaron Holly. We're going to be talking about the left's response to Dobbs. What comes next? Are they going to attack the court? Procedures in the Senate? States? What will it be? That's next. Don't go away.
Do you and your family feel equipped to give a reason for the hope that you have in today's culture? The mission of FRC's Online Center for Biblical Worldview is to train Christians in advancing faith in their communities in the public square, as now more than ever, we need to be grounded in the truths of God's Word. To access a variety of free resources rooted in Scripture on topics like voting, religious liberty, abortion, and much more, head over to frc.org/worldview.
Religious liberty is something we often hear people say needs protecting. But what is it? Simply put, it is the freedom to choose your religious beliefs and to live according to those beliefs. At Family Research Council, we believe fighting for religious liberty is essential because it is a human right that all governments have a responsibility to protect. Sadly, not all governments do. Religious persecution is a terrible reality around the world, and so often the media turns a blind eye, although attacks on people of all faiths continue to increase in many regions of the world. As Christians, we look to Scripture as our authority, and in it we have a clear calling from God to pray and care for the persecuted church, the downtrodden, and those who cannot help themselves. Therefore, we must be advocates for those persecuted for their faith. Learn more about what you can do to help the persecuted and access Family Research Council's latest resources on religious liberty by going to frc.org/religious-liberty.
With the increase in text censorship of conservatives and Christians, Family Research Council created a text subscription platform to be sure we don't go completely dark due to censorship. It is important to us that we stay connected with you and that you stay informed. So if we get canceled, you can still find updates on faith, family, and freedom. How? Just text STAND to 67742 to get our text alerts straight to your phone. Stay connected and informed. Text STAND to 67742.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Again, we're broadcasting today from the International Religious Freedom Summit here in Washington, D.C. We'll be talking more about that a little bit later. We had a panel discussion today that I moderated about the rising authoritarianism and intolerance toward Christianity in the West. We're not talking about North Korea. We're not talking about Nigeria. We're talking about Western governments, including the United States. So that's coming up a little bit later. You don't want to miss that. But earlier today, the U.S. Supreme Court sent three abortion-related cases back to the lower courts to be reevaluated in light of last week's ruling in the Dobbs case that overturned the 1973 Roe decision and the 1992 Casey decision. The cases had involved laws from Arizona, Arkansas, and Indiana that restricted abortion, which the lower courts had blocked based on Roe and Casey. Now, as the dominoes continue to fall following the Dobbs ruling, the left is trying to do everything they can to expand abortion access. They're also saying they're not going to enforce the law at certain levels of government. So what are we to make of this, and what is the future? Here to discuss this is Erin Hawley. She is the senior counsel to the appellate team at Alliance Defending Freedom, who helped the state of Mississippi draft their briefs in their arguments in the Dobbs case. Erin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, let me get your reaction first. What do you make of the left's recent accusations against the Supreme Court? I didn't go into that in the intro. You know, AOC and others out there saying, look, even the president today saying, look, we've got to eliminate the filibuster. We've had some saying we've got to expand the court, that this is delegitimized the court. How do you respond to that?
I think that's just outrageous. What the Supreme Court did in Dobbs was to set the court back on the right path. As Justice Alito's opinion in Dobbs said, Roe versus Wade was a raw exercise of judicial power. And the opinion there really makes the case that because the Constitution nowhere in its text, structure, or history does it contain a right to an abortion, and in that instance, then the court's job is at an end. Its only job is to interpret the Constitution, and because there's no right to an abortion, it needs to go back to the states and the people. And so this ruling is very democracy reinforcing, and the Supreme Court really did what it had to do in that case in overruling Roe versus Wade.
Again, to underscore what we just said, and this, I think, is seen in the court sending these cases back to the states, is that the court did not eliminate abortion. They put it back into the hands of elected representatives, both at the state level. It doesn't mean the federal government can't deal with it as well, but it's back into the hands of elected representatives. But in light of this, Erin, we see the administration saying they're going to do certain things. They're trying to see if they can put up abortion clinics on federal lands. They're going to work to make sure they can pay for women to travel out of state to get an abortion. But then you have prosecutors and local prosecutors in red states. In fact, I think you've have more than 80 prosecutors have already vowed not to enforce the law. What are we looking at going forward?
So I think it's very much going to be a state-by-state approach. And it's for the prosecutors, if they are in a state in which a majority of the people have decided that abortion should be illegal in certain circumstances, then their job is to uphold that law. If not, I think a number of states give authority to the attorney general or to other state actors to look into those violations of the state's law. But absolutely, our local law enforcement officers need to protect everyone, including unborn children. And then I think we'll see some really liberal states that continue to do things like allow abortion up until the very moment before birth. And I think that's one thing that's really gotten lost in this is we hear a lot about you know, different things that red states might be doing. But if you look at blue states in this country, they have more liberal abortion policies than almost any nation in the world. They right. are on par with North Korea and China, which we are only one of six countries that allows abortion up until birth. And so I think that's something that we as believers and we as pro-life advocates really need to work on the hearts and minds of people to encourage them to protect life.
I mean, the issue of abortion is far from being resolved, but I do think this puts us on a path that we can achieve some resolution where for the last 49 years with the court taking it and taking it out of the hands of the people's representatives, there was no chance. In fact, it's become more of a political issue as a result. But I think you're right. I think you're going to have states that are going to embrace abortion, but I think some people will walk away from those states. I think pro-life states are going to become more pro-life. I think people will vote with their feet when it comes to the policies of the states. You were a part of the team that prepared for argued this case, drafting the briefs. Your reaction when you got word, I know that it was the suspense was a little bit lifted by the leaked document, but even at that point, what did you think?
You know, I don't know that it has sunk in yet. There have been so many people who have worked for decades. They've marched and they've planned and they've prayed. They've volunteered at local pregnancy care centers. And this has just been the work of generations to actually be living today in a post-Roe world where there are babies are safer today than they were a week ago. And that's just really astounding. So I think I just a huge intimate sense of gratitude and just thankful that the Supreme Court sort of adhered to its principles and looked to the constitutional text and overruled Roe.
It was refreshing that they did, in fact, return to the Constitution. Very quickly, I got 30 seconds left. What do you think is going to be the next aspect of abortion that's going to make its way to the courts that will be litigated?
You know, there's probably going to be a lot. There's, of course, the federal administration, I think, is going to try various sort of ideas to implement abortion nationwide, whether it's through the FDA or whether it's through Veterans Hospital. So I think you'll see some administrative action by the Biden administration. But the court, again, is going to have to look at congressional text. They'll have to find that Congress clearly authorized these sorts of actions, federal actions on abortion. And that's just not true of any of these statutes. But I think that's the new frontier.
Yeah, well, the battle continues. Erin Holley, I want to thank you for joining us and a job well done.
Thanks so much.
All right. Folks, it's far from over, but we've got a fighting chance to return America to being predominantly a pro-life nation again. And there's a lot of work to be done, and we're going to continue to talk about that. And again, this Sunday night, ADF and FRC will be hosting a live stream event from Cornerstone Chapel, Leesburg, Virginia. You can find out more by going to tonyperkins.com. Don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Did you know that pornography, sex trafficking, and abortion are all linked and on the rise across the globe? Issues such as pornography, human trafficking, drug legalization, and abortion are all violations of human dignity and have resulted in the devaluation of human life in our culture. Educate yourself on the harms of these issues so that you can offer hope. Learn more at frc.org/life.
Would you like to spend consistent time in God's Word? Then join Family Research Council on an exciting journey through the Bible. FRC's two-year Bible reading plan helps you to approach daily Bible reading intentionally. You will dive deeper into the nature of God and how His Word speaks into cultural issues of today. All wisdom comes from God, and He has given us the Bible as a way to understand the world. His Word is necessary in our lives, so much so that Christ said, "We are to live on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He calls it our daily bread because we need it daily to sustain us and nourish us spiritually, just like food does physically. Start this adventure today with Family Research Council. When you sign up, we'll text you with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your friends and family. To begin this journey, visit frc.org/Bible.
Are you a university student, specifically one who wants to grow as a Christian leader to positively influence public policy and the culture? Look no further. Family Research Council has a life-changing 12 to 15-week internship program that will give you real-world experience working directly with our experts who will guide you in pursuing careers of influence so you can make an impact wherever God calls. This paid internship offers fully funded housing in downtown DC. Visit frc.org/internships to apply.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Thursday. Great Thursday. That means we're just one day away from the weekend. We are broadcasting from the International Religious Freedom Summit here in Washington, D.C. We were talking with Sam Brownback, former ambassador at large for International Religious Freedom, yesterday. He is really the driver behind this, and we're one of the partners. But it's a great event. And we talk about these types of topics regularly because they're important. In fact, if you're a regular Washington Watch viewer, you've probably heard me talk about the case of the Finnish member of parliament, Päivi Räsänen, whose court battle over her scripture-based statements had been dubbed the Bible trial. While the Helsinki District Court back in March dismissed all hate speech charges against her, unanimously, I might add, the decision is being appealed. So there's still more ahead. But Päivi remains positive, as she has been these past 3 years, and she joins me now here in person to tell us why. Päivi, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, I want to thank you for coming to the States. You were part of our panel today, and you've spoken here at the International Religious Freedom Summit. In fact, our listeners and viewers are very familiar with you because on our behalf, Andrew Brunson went to Finland and delivered the petitions from our viewers and listeners that pledged to pray for you. Before we go into some of the particulars, what's the status of your case?
Yes, just now I'm waiting for the date of the Court of Appeals, because the process is now continuing. Of course, I was very happy for the outcome of the Helsinki District Court, but now this continues. And it gives some more chances to speak about Bible, biblical values, and also it gives a possibility to get from higher courts the decision, which could be a guideline for further possible similar cases.
I want to zero in on that first aspect that you brought up, because you talked about that today at the luncheon, and I think this is very important because this is biblical. Jesus said, look, you're going to be pulled in before the courts, the synagogues, but you're going to be able to testify.
Yes.
And that's exactly, you said you've had Bible studies at the police stations as you've been interrogated, and so you've been able to have these captive audiences, if you will, to share the gospel and the word of God.
Yes, in fact, it has been amazing. And I have been so thankful and grateful for God and for all prayers. Because this whole process, this litigation, has given so many chances to testify about Jesus in a live broadcast, broadcast straight to Finnish homes. Also at the police station, we had the Bible on the table, and the police asked me questions. He asked me to explain that what is the message of the letter to Romans, what is the message of the first chapter, and so on. And I could tell him that it is God who tells what is sin and what is not, but we have in the Bible the solution to the problem of sin, because Jesus has died for our sins. And that is the message that I have given also in courtroom and in many TV and radio interviews.
And you've never lost your joy in this process. And just for a little bit of context for our viewers and listeners, your background is you're a medically trained, you're a doctor. You've been trained as a doctor. How many years have you been in the parliament?
I have been in parliament 27 years.
And you actually served as a minister of the interior.
Yes, for 4 years.
So, I mean, you're not like a newcomer to this.
Yes, I have been in public for decades. And all the time I have also been open about my faith, and we have had many quite similar discussions in past years. But there has happened a change in our society.
But it wasn't a change in what you had to say.
No, I have spoken all the time the same things. But 3 years ago, this process started, and I think that there has happened such a change in our society that it has surprised also Christians. It is a very new situation for us that this could happen, and that you are interrogated, you are investigated for citing Bible, for teaching in public what churches and Christians have been speaking during decades.
Yeah.
About marriage,
right.
and sex.
So the change is the growing intolerance by those that embrace a different view than the scripture when it comes to life choices.
Yes, and it is a surprise that it is so aggressive. And the LGBT networks in Finland and the advocates, they are very active.
But they're not in the majority, so that means there's a lot of people that are silent.
Yes, and it is dangerous that we are silent, because the more we Christians are silent, topical issues, painful issues, the narrower comes the space for these freedoms. So it doesn't help to be silent.
Ivy, we are out of time, unfortunately, because I would love to continue to talk with you. I so appreciate your boldness and your courage and the love of God that is all upon you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I want to remind you that you can find uniquely curated news and commentary when you head over to our recently created Washington Stand news site. Also, don't forget to sign up for Celebrate Dobbs, Celebrate Life. You can find the link at tonyperkins.com. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234.